Of Ohio's many great natural assets, water is one of its greatest. That is, if we work to protect it. That is the belief of a group of Ohio organizations that got together more than a year ago to form the Healthy Water Ohio Coalition. The coalition has released a report that will guide the long-term protection of Ohio's valuable water resources. What needs done, when and how to assure healthy water in the Buckeye State? We'll hear some answers today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
There are a lot of people talking about water in Ohio, whether it's algae problems on Lake Erie or now even on the Ohio River, or the impact of fracking on water resources, or infrastructure challenges like the collapsing earthen dam on Buckeye Lake. The Healthy Water Ohio Coalition is a very unique group of diverse interests all pulled together to take a strategic look at what are some very complex questions surrounding how to best preserve our water resources. The group has issued a long-range strategic plan that identifies the key issues that need to be resolved. And today, some members of the Healthy Water Ohio Steering Committee are with us to share the results of their work. We have a cast of thousands with us here today. Ann Aquillo is Vice President, Corporate Affairs with Scott's Miracle-Gro. Steve Hirsch is President of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, also is the Chairman for the Healthy Water Ohio Coalition. Josh Knights, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy in Ohio. Jack Williams, Municipal Director from the Village of Ottawa. So to all of you, welcome. Glad to have you back, Josh and Steve. Many times as guests, Jack and Ann, welcome for the first time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to hear from all of our guests today, but Steve, as the chairperson, we'll let you kick it off. Just, I gave kind of a quick overview of Healthy Water Ohio. Tell us more about what the group was and why it was pulled together.
Well, one of the things that we noticed in early 2013 was lots of folks were talking about water, whether it was in agriculture, municipalities, manufacturing, industry, conservation and environmental groups, and others were all talking about water, but maybe in their own little silo. So we wanted to get a group together to look at it, because what one group may do may impact another group. So if we get everyone together around a table, we can talk about this, how we can all move forward to protecting and preserving Ohio's water quality and quantity. So we had a group of 33 on the original committee, and we asked the questions about who else needs to be here, what do we want to do, and how do we want to move forward. So we formed a steering committee. We did a public opinion survey. We also held a number of work groups around the state. We had about 200 and some people participate all across the state from various aspects of the water spectrum. And we developed the report that's come out. The final report lays out some recommendations on what we think we need to do going forward.
And that report is available to the public. It's at healthywaterohio.org. That is the website, and there's a banner right on that front page. So you can certainly download a very comprehensive report that gets into many of the subjects that we're going to be talking about today. Jack, there was a news conference to announce some of the findings of this group to the media, and you made the point that you got engaged. There's about a million water groups you could have been involved with. This one had a unique attraction because of its makeup.
Well, the makeup certainly made a difference to me. I've been in this business for nearly 40 years, and I've never seen a group from all spectrums of the water systems come together. We have people who are concerned with conservation, with industry, with business, with municipalities. And what I found in the past is when you get these groups together, they can work well together, but it's hard to get them at the same table. Somehow you guys magically got this done, which is great. I think that's super. When we worked on these projects individually as an individual industry, we might get something done, but then the other industries couldn't catch up, or the other industries would get something done and we couldn't catch up. So we needed to work together. So yes, it had a great attraction for this.
And what is the value of the diversity? You represent a major corporation, Jack's with a local water utility, Josh conservation, agriculture. The Ohio State University was heavily engaged. What's the value in having these very diverse voices?
Exactly that point. You get a lot of different perspectives. We as a company, again, have been headquartered here in Ohio for almost 150 years. We have dialogues like this all across the country, if not the world. To Jack's point, this was the most diverse group, and we have worked with a number of coalitions across the country. But what was great about this was all of these different unique perspectives and this idea that everybody was willing to do their part. It wasn't a blame game. It was, let's all talk about how we can work together. We all want to see clean, abundant water. So what can we do as a group to push that idea forward?
I think Josh, from my knowledge of the Nature Conservancy, that's kind of one of the operating philosophies, is that you don't have to put the quote-unquote environmental community over here and everybody else over there.
That's true, Joe. We've never been the organization of, no, you can't do this. We've been the organization of, how can we get things done? And really, the key to any successful enterprise is bringing all the right people together and working as a team and not trying to do it on your own. You get far more done that way. And so we've just been really pleased with the outcome of the process and really impressed with the diversity of the participants.
Of course, drawing a lot of attention to water in a very unfortunate circumstance was the occurrence of August of 2014, when nearly 500,000 people in the city of Toledo and surrounding areas were told, you can't drink your water, it is unsafe for you. Let's go back prior to that, even maybe prior to the last 3, 4, 5 years, when water issues seem to be elevating. Jack, from a municipal water supplier's perspective, what were the things you were worried about? What were the things that you were spending your time trying to figure out so that your customers could turn on the tap and be happy with what came out?
Well, certainly the total trihalomethane issue came up about that time. And so prior to that, we were concerned about quantity and quality as well. But mostly the quantity and having enough surplus supply to serve not only our customers but future customers. But the quality of the water coming into our systems and also leaving our systems was a concern, and we knew that EPA had on the horizon certain mandates that were going to be required. In local government, we wait until we're told what to do, for the most part. Not all local governments do that, but most of them do, because nobody wants to be responsible for increased taxes or increased cost. So from my perspective, you're balancing it between the population, the quality, the quantity of the water, and also working with your own legislators, let alone state and federal legislators.
Steve, from a farmer's perspective, again, the Toledo crisis certainly elevated things. There was in the narrative a lot of, hey, this is a farm problem. But take us, a couple of years before it became a front page headline. What were farmers thinking about in terms of water in Ohio?
I think, since the mid-2000s, there have been some algae blooms in Lake Erie. Farmers have done a number of practices over the years, from no-till to other things, to using some variable rate seeding and variable rate fertilization as we've grown in technology. Quantity and quality have been important, but a lot of times that was flood and drought is what we thought about when, as farmers, you know, there was either not enough or there was too much, and how do we come in between? But it's as we move forward, it's much more important about how do we keep all of the nutrients that we're trying to use for a growing crop on the soil to grow that crop.
Jack or Josh, how about from TNC and the environmental community's perspective? Aside from the very crucial, we've got to be able to drink this, what are some other water issues that have been on your list of things to do?
Sure. We have a lot of different interactions with water. I mean, water really defines, I think, Ohio in many respects. We've got two big systems bordering us, the Great Lakes to the north and the Ohio River system to the south. So a lot of who we are and what we're able to do here in Ohio is really defined by our water resources. The ecological opportunities with water are tremendous. We have some very high-quality streams in the state. We've got some of the most productive fisheries, especially in the Western Lake Erie Basin, of any in the Great Lakes. We've got tremendous recreational opportunities for folks that enjoy the outdoors. So what I appreciated about the Healthy Water Ohio process was that we didn't look at how do you put a Band-Aid on the problem. We didn't look at, well, if we just fix the water treatment plants, we're done because then people can drink the water. I think everybody at the table understood that there were far more and far more reaching impacts in terms of water, in terms of recreation, livelihoods, and other things. And so we really kind of tackled the challenge at its source and not, you know, how do we put a Band-Aid on it and live with it for the next couple of years? We had some pretty serious conversations, I think, and some frank conversations as part of the process. And so I really appreciated that because water does touch our lives in so many different ways.
Whether it's the tourism representatives or industry or conservation, whatever, everybody that was, and I was privileged to kind of watch a lot of the development of this Healthy Water initiative. Everybody around the table, it's part of their livelihood. It's a part of their commitment. It's a part of what they do on a daily basis. Jack, do you think the average person, somebody that might just be, you know, getting ready for church this morning, listening to the show, do they think about water on a regular basis? Or it's just kind of usually you open up the tap and there it is.
You open up the tap, you flush the toilet, and it goes away. Yep, that's pretty much it, unless you have a situation like you mentioned in the city of Toledo where you have over 500,000 people can't use their water. Then all of a sudden you realize how important it is. Mm.
And that was one of the things that you talked about during the news conference is we need to change that. We need to raise the level of awareness.
Yes, and that's for us as a consumer company, we're always trying to figure out more innovative ways to speak to consumers, to simplify issues and make them actionable. So for us, it's that product innovation, but the other big components are consumer education and outreach. So again, what's the message that will resonate? What are the simple, sustainable solutions, the steps that people can take? And then again, what are all the different great organizations that you can work with to get that message out?
Yeah, and you listed a few of them, beginning with some of our policymakers. There needs to be a dialogue from the private sector with the public sector.
Yes, and that's, again, there's opportunities, there are consequences, there are benefits to what are the decisions that we can make, but it just comes down to this awareness. You know, I think we've been very focused on water quality here. What I love about this conversation is we see it across the country, specifically out in California right now, but 40 out of 50 states struggle with drought right now to some degree. We have to also think about the supply of water as much as we do what's in it.
Well, we are going to continue our conversation with our members of the Healthy Water Ohio Steering Committee in just a couple of moments, but we want to go to one of the things that the reporters were most interested in, and Josh, we've got just a minute here, so we're going to jump to that highlight from the report, and that is we've got lots of great ideas on areas that we need to address, but paying for it is going to be one of the, if you'll pardon the pun, the $64,000 questions. A quick synopsis of where Healthy Water Ohio came on paying for water in Ohio.
So the report had two primary recommendations. One was to pursue a state ballot measure that would raise some public funds. But there was another recommendation that recognized that we need to look at private opportunities as well and maybe some other public opportunities. And so we recommended the creation of an Ohio Water Trust that would allow us to delve deeper into those issues. And the bottom line is we're going big, Joe. We're suggesting $250 million a year to tackle this issue.
We'll talk more about that aspect of making sure we preserve Ohio's water resources for future generations. We'll be back to hear more about the strategic plan from Healthy Water Ohio right after this.
From the rivers to the ocean, from the lakes up to the falls. Ooh, we love the water. Now it's their survival, depending on us all. Come on, let's not waste the water. We love the water.
Back on Town Hall, Ohio, we are chatting with four members of the Healthy Water Ohio Strategic, I should say, Steering Committee, which released recently its long-term strategic plan for preserving Ohio's water resources. In the studio with us, Jack Williams of the Village of Ottawa, Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy, Steve Hirsch of Ohio Farm Bureau, and Ann Aquillo of Scott's Miracle-Gro. Josh, we only had a moment, so let's get back to one of the big questions of all of these things that need to be done. Regardless of what the solutions are to some of our water challenges, it's going to take money. One of the proposals from Healthy Water Ohio is the creation of a trust. Describe what that might look like.
Sure. So the trust actually has a few components to it. It has a governance structure because we want to make sure that, first of all, there's a diverse group of folks and voices at the table that are talking about where the money's coming from and where it goes, but also because we think it's very important to ensure transparency and good oversight in terms of the money. The second is a piece that would look at how to determine where to most effectively put that money to get the most return for the dollars spent. And a lot of that relies on research that groups like Ohio State University and the Nature Conservancy and others are doing on the issue. And then finally, yes, we got to have a way to pay for filling in the gaps that are out there that we're not already covering in terms of water quality. And so we've explored a couple of different options. One could be a state ballot measure. Would be very similar to the Clean Ohio Fund. Perhaps some of the listeners have engaged in that program for farmland preservation. But that would be a good starting point. But for those listeners that do go to the website and take a look at the report, on page 31, there are some other suggested potential funding sources at the top. No decisions have been made, Joe, as you know, at this point in time, but it gives you a flavor of how we might be able to start to pay for the problem.
Jack, does it make it better that this concept of a trust would be both private and public funding, that a collaboration approach to paying for our water needs?
Well, I think going back to what Josh said, it does create that sense of transparency, and I think that's really needed there. And I think you have to have some skin in the game, whether you're in the private or the public sector. So I think, yes, it's very important that be a component of it.
We are talking with steering committee members from the Healthy Water Ohio Coalition, Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy, Jack Williams of the Village of Ottawa, Steve Hirsch, president of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Anna Quillo with Scott's Miracle-Gro. And is there interest in the business community to be a part of this collaborative type of approach to identifying and funding fixes to water challenges?
I think one of the great things about the corporate community is we do know how to step up. I think for us, our outreach, our public-private partnerships is where we can do some of our best work. It's again to the idea of being focused on process and outcome and what are the great ideas that you can bring working together, whether it's getting the ideas in front of folks, just thinking about unique opportunities that you can come up with either funding or doing the actual work.
Coincidental with Healthy Water Ohio raising this issue of a state bond, State Senators Gardner and Schiavone, Steve, both came up with ideas for a state bonding program. Did the Healthy Water Ohio group, have you been in conversation with lawmakers, or do you intend to be? They've got one number. Healthy Water Ohio has another number. How's that all going to shake out?
Well, I think we would want to work with them collaboratively and see, you know, what their plans are and what their process is, and try to figure out how we can either fit in with that or how they can fit in with our process. You know, our number includes not only government money but also other money from agriculture and business, water user fees potentially, fishing and boating licenses, those kind of things, so that everyone, as Jack said, has some skin in the game potentially, because it is such a big issue and a resource in Ohio that everyone ought to be part of the solution.
We will emphasize that the Healthy Water Ohio strategic plan is just that. It didn't drill down to, okay, here's a step 1, 2, and 3 that needs to be done. It more or less kind of set up the major themes that need to be addressed in the long range. One of those themes was infrastructure. Jack, just give us a quick overview of what Healthy Water Ohio had to say in that area of what we need to be thinking about.
Well, Ohio itself is looking at, in order to update its infrastructure or to get it back into compliance, about $1.3 billion a year, almost $27 billion over a 20-year period. That does not include the gray water. That does not include the dams and the levees or any of the reservoirs.
What does it include?
It includes basically the infrastructure for water and wastewater. And I don't even think it includes the, because I don't think they know what they want to do with on septic systems yet. But it does include water and wastewater systems. But go ahead.
But, well, I mean, just I want to clarify here. This is the water plant that takes the water, treats it, pipes it into my home and then gets rid of it after I've used it. That's the part you're referencing.
That's the part I'm referencing. And that doesn't even include the treatment end of it, which now we're dealing with the algae issues and other issues as well.
Correct? So $1.3 billion
per year is what the estimate is, and I'm sure that's a low number.
You know what I feel like? Remember, you go to that financial advisor and he says, you need $8.7 million to be able to retire, and you just kind of throw up your hands, and that's how I feel right now. But we do have some ideas on items that are needed and how to be paid for. We're going to continue that conversation with our representatives from the Healthy Water Ohio Steering Committee, Anna Quillo, Steve Hirsch, Josh Knights, Jack Williams. We'll be back to talk more about water in Ohio right after this. Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio, where our subject is the strategic plan issued recently by the Healthy Water Ohio Coalition, a 20, 30, maybe even longer term outlook for what are some of the big challenges for Ohio water quantity and quality, and how do we address those challenges. Helping us tell that story, four members of the steering committee from Healthy Water Ohio, including Josh Knights, Steve Hirsch, and Anna Quillo. Jack, we had to break away, but we left off with me just kind of in shock at your number that we need $1.6 billion per year just to take care of our basic infrastructure needs of cleaning up the water and getting it to my house in a drinkable fashion. During the break, you told me, relax, we can get there.
Well, I think it is attainable, Joe, and this is why. I think when you see Senator Gardner and Shabani come up with proposals, they see the need for it. I think that's great. I also think what Healthy Water Ohio did was they want to create this trust fund, which will go across all avenues of the Nature Conservancy, of the private sector, the farmers, the local government, and everything else. So I think it is attainable if we can get more and more people believing in this and following suit with Senators Gardner and Shabani.
There's certainly some big numbers out there. You're $1.6 billion. Living here in Columbus, we've been following the efforts by the city to repair its stormwater system. The price tag I've read on that, $300 million. We've heard about the Buckeye Lake earthen dam that's collapsing. It's going to need to be replaced for $50 million. But on this whole idea of infrastructure, Josh, when I think of infrastructure, it's the concrete and the rebar to move water or the pipes to move water from point A to point B. Infrastructure, to your thinking, is much broader than just that. Well, Jack used the term gray infrastructure.
That's right. We'd add another color to the palette there. We'd talk about green infrastructure as well. And you know, wetlands and active floodplains are very efficient in terms of taking sediment and nutrients out of the water by slowing the flow. And obviously native vegetation that's there helps in terms of nutrient uptake, which can have a big impact downstream in terms of the water quality and the amount of treatment that has to take place at some of the water treatment plants. In the report, we actually do have, and it's actually in the funding section, not under infrastructure, but it does talk about the value of green infrastructure and what some of those things could be that we could do in that regard. I will say that if we were to try to do all of this water quality improvements through just agricultural practices, it would, one, be way too cost prohibitive, and two, we may not even be able to get there. So we need more tools in the toolbox, and so we think green infrastructure is a great additional tool to add in terms of accelerating best practices on farmlands.
Now, if he's talking about farmlands, Ann, is there an opportunity for a company like Scott's, who interacts directly with homeowners, to help them understand that besides having the yard or the plant, the landscape that you enjoy, and that's what you do it for, that there's an opportunity to be green in how they take care of their own personal property?
Yes, of course. Gardeners are committed to the environment. That's one of the reasons that it's so great to work for our company. These are people who literally get their hands dirty every day interacting, whether they're growing flowers, vegetables, or grass, which, you know, is in their own backyard. We have done some great work with groups like the National Association of Conservation Districts to develop something called backyard conservation, which is literally what Josh is talking about. Great things that the Nature Conservancy does on a much wider scale. How do you do that in your own backyard? At the same time, we watch consumer trends very closely, and we see that a lot of folks are moving back into cities. That's another big aspect of our population. We, of course, applaud and support all the efforts to create green spaces and gardens in those areas, because we tend to look at concrete as a funnel and green spaces as a filter. So to what Josh was talking about, the idea of letting things kind of percolate and be dealt with in a sort of slower fashion as opposed to a lot of rapid runoff, the more we can do in urban environments to create that kind of space is really important to sort of our overall well-being, being in a water ecosystem.
I want to just kind of jump. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do want to make sure that people understand that the work that Scotts Miracle-Gro is doing is extremely important in terms of education, and that these places do provide green space that can act as a filter. But, you know, lawn care products are not the primary source of the problem, and companies, responsible companies like Scotts, have been taking steps to phase things like phosphorus out of their lawn care products. So I do know that a lot of listeners think, oh, it's all these beautiful green lawns in my neighborhood that's creating the water quality issue. It's maybe a small percentage of it, but it is not where we need to focus most of our efforts.
Josh, thank you for that lead-in, and that's actually a great point. We took phosphorus out of our products, our maintenance products, a number of years ago. Again, that was not anything that was regulated. That was our commitment to the environment, because that was the best thing we could do. We could reformulate what's in the bag, and then to Josh's point, it's that education, helping people understand how to interact.
We are talking about Healthy Water Ohio and its work to create a rather extensive and very comprehensive long-term strategic plan for dealing with Ohio's water challenges. We've talked a little bit about infrastructure. We've talked a little bit about funding, education, awareness. There's also a lot of research that needs to be done. There are some policy decisions that are going to be need to be made. We're going to discuss those when we come back on Town Hall Ohio. In the studio with us, Anna Quillo from Scotts Miracle-Gro, Steve Hirsch of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy in Ohio, and Jack Williams, Municipal Director for the Village of Ottawa. We'll be back in just a moment. We welcome you back to Town Hall, Ohio. We are visiting with steering committee members from Healthy Water Ohio, who've recently issued a long-range strategic plan for identifying challenges to water quantity and quality in Ohio, and more importantly, addressing those challenges. Helping us tell that story, Jack Williams, Village of Ottawa, Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy, Anna Quillo of Scotts Miracle-Gro, and our own Ohio Farm Bureau President Steve Hirsch, who served as chairperson for Healthy Water Ohio. Steve, I thought this would take be a good opportunity. I've got a lot of friends who grew up in the city, live in the city. Their idea of water is a pipe comes in from the city, gives them all the water they need. They flush the toilet, end of story. It doesn't quite work that way in rural Ohio, does it?
No, not always. Some folks are on rural water systems, but a lot of folks may have a drilled well. And so they have a source of water right there on their property that's their main source. They also will have a home sewage treatment system on their property, which treats the water going back out. So it's kind of a mini version of a municipal sewage system. It drops the solids, and then the liquid is treated. And there's a number of different ways. Some is aeration to treat that, and others would use a leach field where it naturally filters then.
What's a leach field?
A leach field would be a number of pervious pipes that are buried underground, and the water would flow out in those pipes, and then it would naturally filter through the ground.
Yeah, it's been a look of shock on people's faces sometimes when I explain the fact that no, you don't just flush into a municipal system and somebody else takes care of this for you. And we don't need the details, but There are concerns about the quality of those home sewage system, septic systems in Ohio, and that's part of what we need to address is finding ways to improve those, because I think Dr. Antosh from our staff told me something like a third of the home septic systems aren't doing their job properly.
Well, and that's one of the problems is there are a number of failing systems out there. You know, they do need regular maintenance, and some homeowners don't realize that. And so how do we fix those so that they're up to par where they need to be, so that the water that's going back out is clean water? And that's the goal, is to filter that back to the environment and into the groundwater like it should be. So the cost of doing that is part of the infrastructure that we're talking about. You know, if a third of the rural systems are failing, that's a huge number if it's $10,000 to $15,000 to fix one.
We are talking about some of the recommendations made by the strategic plan issued recently from Healthy Water Ohio. Jack Williams, Village of Ottawa, during the news conference to roll this out, you talked to reporters about the need for research and coordinating research better. Tell us about that finding from Healthy Water Ohio.
Well, I think one of the things we found out while we're going through these meetings, there's a lot of research out there, Joe. I mean, there's a lot of research out there. But it's independent research. People are doing research on water in most of the major universities in the state of Ohio and outside of the state of Ohio. The problem we have is there's no coordinated effort to work these together and to see what each other's what each entity is doing on their own. And I think what we've pointed out in the Healthy Water Ohio is the need for a group to get together and to look at all the research that's being out there and to fill in the gaps where the gaps needed to be filled in, and also not duplicate things. You know, if somebody's got something they're working on and somebody else is working on something and somebody's further ahead, then work together. And I think we have a commitment from our committee and also from the universities to do that.
We are talking about the Healthy Water Ohio Strategic Plan. Another area that that the plan gets into is labeled policy and jurisdiction. Steve, I know you focused on that a lot. One of the first things I saw on that list of things that we need to do public policy-wise is draw on some already pretty good existing resources and organizations to help us coordinate all this work.
Joe, there are already some established water conservancy districts in Ohio that are kind of cross-jurisdictional, if you will. You know, they're across many municipalities and cities and counties, and sometimes it's hard to get those folks to work together. But if you have a conservancy district that's putting that together, the collaboration, we hope, would be better. There's also Ohio Water Resources Council. It's a government group to get together the government agencies, and we'd like to see that funded better and more coordination among the various agencies that deal with water in Ohio, because as some folks can tell you, they're not always on the same page.
We will be back to wrap up our conversation with our four committee members from Healthy Water Ohio Coalition, Anna Quillo, Steve Hirsch, Josh Knights, and Jack Williams. We'll be back to wrap up that conversation right after this. For the past year, maybe even close to 2 years, a group called Healthy Water Ohio has been working to figure out ways to protect Ohio's valuable water resources. They've issued a long-range strategic plan, and that's what we're chatting about today with Anna Quillo. She is with Scotts Miracle-Gro, Steve Hirsch of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Jack Williams of the Village of Ottawa, and Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy. They're four members of the Healthy Water Ohio Steering Committee. Steve was talking a little bit before the break about some of the policy issues that Healthy Water Ohio came up with. And Josh, just to play devil's advocate, I looked down through some of these policy and jurisdiction recommendations, and I see the word voluntary. I see incentives. I see equitable. And in other words, why all the voluntary stuff, and why not more government telling us what we need to do?
Well, Joe, I think, you know, before answering that question, it's fair to say that the final report has both. I don't think it's an either-either situation. The problem is big enough that we need to have all options on the table, and so we talk about equitable and reasonable regulations, and I think we saw some of those earlier this year with SB 1 and prior to that SB 150, which were bills that really helped to start to address some of this issue. But, you know, voluntary and incentives are so important because if you let the market do what it does best, if you give someone an incentive, they're going to try to maximize that, right? Don't we all try to get as much deductions on our taxes every year as possible? So, you know, that's your incentive because you're going to be able to keep more of that money for yourself or do more of the things that you want to do. Whereas when you regulate an entity, and maybe Jack can speak to this, being a regulated entity, you know, you're going to do what you need to do if you're a good actor, but you're not going to take a step beyond that. You're going to do exactly what the letter of the law says. You're going to meet the regulation, but you're not going to go any further. So voluntary incentives really kind of set things up for maybe even some innovations we haven't even thought of right now to how you can address this problem.
Well, Josh, you're right. And I do believe in the local government especially, we do what we have to do for the most part because we're governed by legislators who don't want to see their rates go up. They don't want to pass those rates along or taxes increases along to the residents. So, yeah, we do that. But if there's incentives for us to do those ahead of time or to do more, then obviously that will have a major impact.
Well, as we wrap up, I would encourage all of our listeners to visit healthywaterohio.org, get some background on the organization, but more specifically, look at this long-term strategic plan and kind of get an idea of what's going on in this whole water space and what needs to be done. And we'll start with you here as we wrap things up for the average listener who says, you know what, I guess I just have always taken my water for granted. But they listen to the show today, and we've changed their minds. We've helped them understand that they need to get engaged. What's a good way to do that? What's the average citizen need to be doing to start taking a role in helping us preserve Ohio water?
Well, I think just that awareness factor. We are very blessed here in Ohio to have such great supplies of water, clean, abundant water. I think it's just small changes. You know, we find out, we do a lot of consumer research, and again, it's kind of that recycle idea. If you can just make it kind of an easy, actionable step, easy things that you can do, check for leaks in your hoses, in your irrigation system at home, you know, water at different times, you know, when it's not as hot, but earlier in the day or later in the day. We offer a lot of great lawn care tips and garden tips on our website. So if you go to scottsmiraclegrow.com, there's a lot of really easy videos to watch, things along those lines from the outdoor perspective. But I think it's knowing that it's everybody's responsibility to help. I think that's the big piece that you walk away with.
Steve, quickly, what would you want the listener to know about farmers' approach to helping resolve water challenges in Ohio?
Well, I think that, you know, agriculture has stepped up over the last 2 years. Josh mentioned Senate Bill 1 and the 150, both things that that farmers were involved in to make sure happened, and we want to continue to be part of the solution as we move forward, and hopefully we're going to be a big part of that. But we will continue to do all of those things to keep the nutrients that we need on our soil and continue to try to grow the best food possible in the world.
Well, I've had the privilege of watching the evolution of Healthy Water Ohio from when the idea was born to, this step, because it's not over. We have some ideas now on what needs to be done long term. I think the challenge for Healthy Water Ohio will be now to help assure that those steps are taken. We want to say a huge thank you to four of the Healthy Water Ohio Steering Committee members joining us today. Anna Quillo of Scott's Miracle-Gro, Steve Hirsch of the Ohio Farm Bureau, Josh Knights of the Nature Conservancy in Ohio, Jack Williams of the Village of Ottawa, and thanks to all of you for tuning us in this week on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.